Canadians are desperate for change, and polls are showing that if there were an election this winter, Justin Trudeau would lose in an historic landslide defeat. So the only real question that remains is, when will the election finally take place? I'm Candace Malcolm, and this is The Candace Malcolm Show. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to our True North channel if you're new around here. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review if you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy the show. And head on over to our website, tnc.news, to sign up for a newsletter so you never miss a story. If you want to support our journalism, please consider hitting that donate button and becoming a True North insider. So we all know that Canadians have had enough of Justin Trudeau. After 9 long years of woke virtue signaling, endless embarrassing scandals, ruinous economic policies, Canadians are telling us they want change. Poll after poll after poll show us that the overwhelming majority of Canadians want Trudeau to go. And like I said, if there was an election held today, Trudeau's main opponent, opposition leader Pierre Poilievre, would win a sweeping historical landslide in an election. But the only question is there going to be an election anytime soon? We know that there is a minority government situation, so the government could fall at any time, but it could also remain intact for another almost 2 years. So to help us gain some insight on this topic, I'm joined by my guest today, Hamish Marshall. You remember Hamish. He's contributed to True North in the past. He was our in-house pollster during the 2021 election. He's also a partner over at One Persuades, which is a government relations and strategy firm based in Ontario. Hamish is well known in conservative circles. He ran the national campaign for the Conservative Party in 2019. 2017, he ran Andrew Scheer's winning leadership campaign. And previously, prior to that, he worked for Stephen Harper and was his pollster during the successful 2008 federal election. So, Hamish, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Candace.
Okay, so basically in this situation, the balance of power is held by the NDP. The NDP is the one that gets to decide whether or not we have an election, whether they're going to continue to prop up the Trudeau Liberals. So let's start with the NDP. Do you think that they are ready for an election, and how much longer do you think they're going to prop up the Trudeau government?
I don't think they're ready for an election right now. Their fundraising hasn't been that great, which is always a good indicator of how ready they are. Elections cost an awful lot of money. I mean, the spending limit will be a little over $30 million whenever the election happens, and the NDP don't have anything like that amount of money or have really the capacity to get there in the short term. But more to the point, they're also not doing particularly well in the polls. They're not doing particularly badly either. But in order for them, right now things are going okay for them. They're more or less maintaining where they've been in the polls, and they like being in the catbird seat and making the Liberals jump up and down. One of the things, of course, is the Liberal government is kind of out of ideas, and as a result, the NDP is actually probably have more influence today than they did, say, a year ago, or back when the deal was first signed in 2022, because with the Liberals running out of ideas, the NDP can now just sort of suggest ideas, and they're more likely to be taken and implemented. So I think the NDP feels they're in a pretty good position, and they're not going to rock the boat in the short term.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I did notice some news, first of all, that the NDP is starting to hire digital organizers, regional organizers out in British Columbia. Say about that what you will, but to your point, the party's broke. Why are they hiring for jobs for an election unless there's something coming? Party treasurer recently said that the NDP expects to be debt-free in 2024. So, do you think any of those are pointing to signs that maybe an election might be coming maybe later in 2024?
Well, there's always a possibility, but you know, if they're trying to be debt free in 2024, that means then they have to start saving their nest egg for the next election before they take on another ton of debt for the next election, right? So that to me sounds more like they want to get clear in 2024 so that they can, you know, save a few million bucks and go into 2025. The other thing that they, you know, right now, despite the best efforts of the Conservatives, they have not been terribly tagged with the sort of association with the Liberals, right? Like this Liberal NDP deal has not really dragged their poll numbers down. Trudeau's lack of popularity and increasing lack of popularity hasn't dragged the NDP down yet. The closer they get to an election, the greater the chance of that happening, and the more chance I think they'll have of pulling the plug.
It's interesting. Some polls that you see show the Liberals quite a bit ahead of the NDP. Others, I've seen some polls that show them neck and neck, and even some showing that Jagmeet Singh could become the leader of an opposition. You never know what could happen in an election, but given Trudeau's negatives and given Canadians' fatigue with Justin Trudeau, it's possible that he could get wiped out. Let's talk about Trudeau a little bit. He's made it clear that he intends to stay on as leader and to fight, but so many of these polls are saying that even among Liberal voters, they don't like Trudeau, and if there were a new leader, not Trudeau, that they would be more likely to show up and vote. So what do you think is the future for our Prime Minister?
Well, I think he's sticking around. I think he believes he's got a mission to save Canada from Pierre Poilievre. He's a good campaigner, give him full credit. He's good at campaigning. Fundamentally, his view of the country is that a candidate like Pierre Poilievre can't possibly win a majority government. And therefore, if he sticks around and runs a good campaign, he'll be able to beat him. But I think the polls are increasingly showing that's not true. And the really big thing that matters more than the ballot question of, who you're voting for is those personal numbers. And what we've seen is over the last few months, Pierre Poilievre's numbers have just kept going up and up, and Justin Trudeau's numbers have got going down and down. And that's a real problem for the Prime Minister.
So as far as the Liberals go, do you think that the Liberals would be better off with Justin Trudeau, given Canadians' tired view of him? Or do they be better off starting fresh? I mean, there are some other names being bounced around, like Mark Carney, who is a former governor of the Bank of Canada, and perhaps Chrystia Freeland, who's a deputy prime minister. Do you think either of those names would give the Liberals more hope or give them a boost in the polls?
Well, I think change is always is always a risk with change, right? I think the desire for change is so great in Canada right now that a new leader would be interesting to Canadians. There'd be a lot of focus on that leadership race and whether we ended up with either the people you mentioned or, Melanie Joly or Champagne or somebody else. That would be a way of the Liberals trying to change the channel. And I think at least for a few months, it probably would quite successfully change the channel because the Liberal Party would be electing a prime minister and that would, drive everyone's interest in politics. And the focus would be on that leadership race. Whether that new prime minister would be able to persuade Canadians after that they're fundamentally different from the Trudeau government that they probably were deeply connected with is another story entirely. But I think it would in the short term it would work. But there's really no mechanism for it. Trudeau himself, I don't believe is going anywhere. And Liberal caucus isn't going to throw him out. We're not going to see a revolt the same way that took out Aaron O'Toole in the Liberal caucus. The Liberal caucus is overwhelmingly made up of people who were elected after Trudeau became leader, whose entire experience in politics is with Trudeau as leader, and many of whom don't have sort of deep institutional roots in the Liberal Party and activism that predates him as leader. I went and looked at it the other day. Of the 155 Liberal MPs there are right now, there's only 19 that were elected before Trudeau was leader, and Trudeau was one of those. So it's a very, very small percentage of them. Those are the sort of people, those experienced people, would have probably been the nucleus for any kind of revolt against them. But it's a very small number. And many of them are actually diehard loyalists of Trudeau, people like Dominic Leblanc. So I think the chances of anything coming out of the Liberal caucus and getting rid of Trudeau is very, very low. These are people whose political career exists entirely in the Trudeau universe. And it's difficult for them to imagine what life would be like with a different leader.
Well, it totally makes sense. I mean, Trudeau has completely remade the Liberal Party in his image. I mean, it used to be sort of a centralist, rather fiscally conservative party. Trudeau took over, first of all, he kicked out anyone who wasn't militantly pro-abortion out of the party. And then he moved the party far, far to the left, in some ways even more to the left than the NDP. And like you said, his success is all that these people know, because as we remember Hamish in 2011, the Liberals were decimated. The party was in shambles and it was barely even there. It was a shadow of its former self. Trudeau brought it back. So when you look at some of these polls, you're actually kind of seeing the Liberals just return to pre True to levels. I want to just ask you quickly about that, because we saw a little bit of caucus dissent. We don't often see this in Canadian politics, but a few MPs spoke out against the Trudeau government's decision to call for a ceasefire against Hamas in Israel. You saw a couple MPs saying that they disagreed with that in on social media. Do you think there's anything deeper to that? Do you think that'll get anywhere?
No, and my understanding is that that was a very deliberate tactic, that they called for a ceasefire in order to deal with the pressure they're getting internally from constituencies with vocal Muslim populations. And then they went to the MPs that represent areas of substantial Jewish populations and say what you need to say. We're going to do this. If you go and disagree with it, that's fine. And it was very much a deliberate way. It was their way of squaring the circle. I think it's emblematic of nothing more than issues management.
Well, it sounds like very traditional, liberal, transactional vote banking politics. Let's tack back and talk about Pierre Poilievre. You know, you mentioned that Trudeau believes that it's impossible for a conservative government like led by someone like Pierre Poilievre to win a majority government. What do you think is the path for victory for conservatives? Do you think that it is possible for Pierre Poilievre to win a majority government?
No question. There's absolutely no question that conservatives can win the next election. The number of seats that are necessary isn't, you know, it's really only winning 50 more seats effectively, and the numbers in Ontario are such that the Conservatives should be on track for that for across the country. Basically the Conservatives just have to do better in the suburbs, and the desire for change in the suburbs is very, very high. Pierre Poilievre's message has been resonating. The affordability, the incredible thing about the affordability issue is, as much as people sort of say, well, maybe inflation will go down or things will change or whatever it is, the affordability is bigger today as an issue than it was a year ago or 2 years ago when Pierre Poilievre was really first sounding, I guess 2.5 years ago, when he was really sounding the alarm, and even bigger than it was when he was running for leader. It's a bigger, stronger issue. And it's dominating things. And the fact of the matter is that the government has done nothing that has given them any credit on this issue. People keep feeling things are getting worse, not better. And the people holding the bag are the federal government.
Well, to Pierre Poilievre's credit, he's been sounding the alarm about inflation for a very long time, before it was really, you know, an issue that was affecting Canadians every day at the grocery store and the gas pumps and everything like that. Like, he's one of the most knowledgeable people that I've spoken to, and I've had him on the show to explain it when it comes to these topics. So he knows his file, and he's really carved out a niche for himself. I'm wondering if you were advising Pierre Poilievre, you have the legacy media say that his tone is nasty and that he's unelectable and that Canadians won't like his combative nature. We've seen him push back against some reporters sometimes and not necessarily take the most friendly relationship with the legacy media. Do you think that's going to hurt him? If you were advising him, what would you tell him with regards to media relations?
No, I don't think it's hurting him at all. I think that he's realized that the vast majority of Canadians don't really get their news from their legacy media in the way that they would have 10 or 15 years ago. People might watch a little bit of the news, see the odd article in the newspaper, see a whole bunch of different things or clips online. Pierre Poilievre was the first politician in Canada to really, truly understand how to deliver messages built for social media. I mean, you know, the number of shares he gets on videos on Instagram or YouTube are remarkable, and the number of views he gets. He's getting far more views for most of his videos than nightly newscasts would be. He's already really gone around them and doesn't need them in the traditional sense. And frankly, things like Liberal Bill C-18, you know, killing the sharing of news links on Facebook, has actually helped someone like Pierre, because his videos aren't getting blocked on social media, but, you know, news stories about him from CTV or CBC or whatever are getting blocked, and it's only accelerating the decline of the traditional media.
Well, isn't that interesting? I'm sure that the legacy media aren't happy with Trudeau about that, although I'm sure they're happy about all the money that they are getting from the Liberal government. Yeah. Okay, final question for you, Hamish. Yes or no, will we have an election in 2024, or will Canadians have to wait until 2025 to get a new government?
It's 2025.
Well, you will be disappointing many with that answer, but we appreciate your insight. and your honesty and your analysis. So Hamish Marshall, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Kenneth Malcolm, and this is The Kenneth Malcolm Show.